You and look forward to it this whole week. What I want to share with you this morning in the Sunday school is dealing with a man that got grace. 11 o'clock when we go into the worship service, we're going to look at two characters in the Old Testament as well, dealing how one got grace also in the Old Testament as well. So this morning, I want you, if you will, turn to Genesis chapter number 32 in your Bible. Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. Okay, you in Genesis 32, look with me in verse number 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahema. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks, men servants, women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." Now, I want to stop there, and we're looking at this chapter. We're going to look at a man by the name of Jacob this morning. The way to win is to lose, if you want to look at this title that way. To me, one of the greatest progressions of faith in the Bible is revealed in the life of Jacob. He is a man that God changed. God changed his family. God changed his fortune. And God changed his future. But God also changed his faith as well. Now, there are 8 interesting contrasts in the life of Jacob. He went out young, but he came back old. He went out single, but he came back married. He went out poor, but he came back rich. He went out healthy, but he came back lame. He went out with an old nature, but he came back with a new name. He went out alienated, but he came back reconciled to his brother. He went out with his mother who was alive, but he came back with his mother dead. He went out walking from God, but he came back walking with God. His name speaks for himself. The name Jacob, as we well know, means supplanter. You could say deceiver. But Jacob was quite a man. Because in Isaiah chapter 41, the Bible calls him a worm. He's a worm. But he is a worm that became a prince. Jacob, for many, many years, he lived up to his name because, as you well know, Jacob was a shepherd as well. He was a man who lived for himself and to himself. He was a self-centered man, but he was often found at the bargain table, if you please. He cheated, he lied, he bribed, and he conned his way out of many difficult situations that he came across. But the most famous saying in all sports, as we all know, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. But for with God, the way to win is to lose. See, you don't win fair, you don't win at all. And we're going to learn that lesson in an easy way as possible by seeing this in Jacob. Jacob had learned it the hard way. He was spiritually in nature, but there are 2 places that were special to Jacob in his life. One was Bethel, and one was a brook, the brook Jabbok. At Bethel, he saw a ladder, but at the brook, he saw the Lord. At Bethel, he came a believing man, but at the brook, he became a broken man. At Bethel, he became a son of God. But at the brook, he became a synagogue. At Bethel, he died to sin. But at the brook, he died to self. At Bethel, you see how God saved Jacob. But at the brook, we see how God sanctified Jacob. In verse number 1 and verse number 2 in this chapter here, you'll see the burden that Jacob faced in these first two verses. He said, and Jacob went on his way, and the angel of God met him. Now, this is the first time the encounter with Jacob happens. In verse number 2, he called the name of the place there. You see the word Mahima, it means two armies or camped armies, armed camps. In other words, he's coming home. He's not coming totally to what you call a happy homecoming at this point. But he felt the weight of the world that was on his shoulders. And the reason for that, he carried a burden. All people either carrying a burden someday or will carry a burden someday. But there was the burden of his guile. You see, the first time we meet Jacob, he had been beaten out of his brother, out of his birthright, Esau, out of his blessing. First, he swindled the birthright, as we know. Then he stole the blessing also. Over in Genesis 25, in verse number 24 over there, I want you to listen to these verses here in verse 24 down to verse number 26 in chapter 25. And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Verse 25, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau, the firstborn. There you have a picture of the flesh, a man of the world, if you please. In verse 26, and after that came his brother out and took, and his hand took hold of on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was threescore years old when she bare them. So you have Jacob, he is a picture of the Spirit. He was a supplanter, in other words. So you have Esau and you have Jacob. You have Cain and you have Abel. Twins in Esau and Jacob. Twins in Cain and Abel there. The other word for Esau was the word Edom, which means red one. So we have here the progenitor of two nations in Bible typology. You got the flesh and you got the spirit. So what he does, he suckered his brother into selling his birthright for a mess of pottage, as we know. Now you can go and read in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright, in Hebrews 12. Then later on, Isaac, he went to give the blessing that was reserved for the oldest son. So Jacob, as we know, he disguised himself as Esau and he stole the blessing. Now, I asked you this morning, can anyone go any lower than to lie, cheat, and steal from his family? For 20 long years, Jacob had to live with the fact that he defrauded his brother in chapter 25 and 24. He deceived his father and turned around, he divided his family on top of that. So there was a burden also of his guilt. Well, as the old saying goes, we hear many times, the chickens have come home to roost. Okay? So Jacob had to face the music, so to speak. So God ordered him to go back home. So he would be laying everything on the line right here. His family, his fortune, and his future be on the line. I like Proverbs 20. It says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. You see, there are many things that nobody can totally be sure of today. When you see the term, and I'll get back to that in a second. When you see the term inheriting in your Bible, like he's going to inherit this. Well, in the New Testament, it refers to the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000 years. But it also is relate to a Christian as well. Now, in verse number 7 in this chapter we're in this morning, chapter number 32, in verse number 7 here, it says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." Now, Jacob, he was really literally stressed out. We don't get that way, I know. You know, we don't get stressed out. But he was shaking in his boots, so to speak. And he was really afraid of his own shadow, if you want to put it that way. Okay? So he tries to do three things to deal with his brother. One, he tries planning. In verse number 7, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands." Now, I don't know if you know this about sheep or not, that he watched over his flock, the sheep, during all this time also. But sheep, they get their head caught in briars, and they die trying to get untangled there. And tangle up, there are these little bitty flies that like to torment sheep, and they like to lay eggs inside their nostrils. And those eggs hatch, and they turn into worms. And that just drives the sheep nuts. And they'll beat their head against the rocks, and sometimes they'll die, sometimes they won't. You see? And also their ears and their eyes also to tormenting insects. And these shepherds, what they had to do, they had to anoint the whole head with oil. They pour head over that oil they poured over the head of that sheep there. And when he does that, that gives that sheep peace at that time for that insects and all. You see, that oil, it forms a barrier of protection against the evil that tries to destroy the sheep, in other words. In verse number 8, you'll notice, and he said, if Esau comes to the company, to one company, and smite, then the other company shall, which is left, shall escape. So what he does, he divides his part and his possessions in half, is what he does. He sends them in two different directions. You go that away, and you go that away, in other words. And he's thinking to himself that he figures, well, half of something is better than nothing at all. So Jacob's problem was not only he feared his brother, but go back and look at verse number 5 and 6 with me again. Verse 5 and 6. He says in verse 5, "And I have oxen, asses, flocks, men servants, women servants I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, "We came to the brother Esau, and he comes to meet thee and 400 men with him." There's an old saying, he wants to bury the hatchets, okay? That's what he wants to do. He wants to become reconciled to his brother again. But did you notice how he refers to his brother? He said, "My Lord Esau." You know why he did that? He's trying to butter him up. He wants to get things right with Esau, his brother. As you remember, the last time he saw Esau, he was laughing all the way to the bank. Now he's crying all the way to the chapel right now. So what he does, he sends out what's called a feeler. He wants to get what response he's going to hear from Esau. Well, he finds out that the fish aren't biting. And Esau's not buying. So he's going to take more than a little sweet talk to smooth this situation over with Esau. Proverbs 18. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." You see, the last thing that Esau had sold to him for 20 years ago, he says, "I'm going to kill you," Esau said. "I'm going to kill you." That's the last thing that Esau said to him 20 years ago. 20 long years. He's been under a death threat for 20 years. And I imagine there were posters all over the place. Wanted dead, forget the alive. You see, Jacob, he doubted his God. You see, the first two verses, the angels of God had met him at the place called Mahima. That word there means two camps. That's what the word means. You see, God had put two camps of angels out. One before him and one behind him. That's what he did. And he's going to defend Jacob, and he's going to take care of him. So Jacob, he's a good little Baptist. So he decides that he can handle his problems a lot better than God can. He's just a good little Baptist. I can do it. And he begins to plan. He begins to plan. You see, there's nothing wrong with planning, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But planning without God is scheming. So Jacob's problem was a heart problem, okay? It was spiritually in nature, because he was rebellious in his heart toward God. You see, spiritual matters were no interest for Jacob at all. No influence on Jacob. No importance for Jacob at all. So he tries praying. He tries praying. One of the greatest prayers in the Bible, dear folks, is recorded right here in this book. You know what kind of prayer it was? A foxhole prayer. That's what it was. A foxhole prayer. You see, he claims the providence of God in verse number 9. And he's reminding God, I'm here because of you, okay? So he claimed the providence of God. Then he claimed the provisions of God in verse number 10, if you'll notice. He said, I am not worth of least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. Now I am become two bands. Now when Jacob left home, all he had was a simple little old rod, okay, staff. But when he came back, he had riches. His attitude is now different. His mental attitude is now different. His spiritual attitude is now different. Not one bit of pride you'll see in verse number 10. Not one bit of arrogance you'll find there at all. God met his needs, not his wants. God met his needs. He said in verse number 11, he claimed the protection of God in verse number 11. He said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Now, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Jacob had every right to me. He had every right to fear. Every right. Because Esau sworn, I'm going to kill him. I am going to kill him. You see, his only hope was in God. He claimed the protection of God. But he turns around and he claimed the promise of God. In verse number 12, he says, thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which it cannot be numbered for multitude. Now, he reminded God that which God had promised him in verse number 9 there. So, he tried that. Then he turns around and he tries paying. In verse 13, down to verse number 21 in this chapter here, Jacob, he planned to give Esau as a token, a peace offering, you see. He wants to get reconciled with his brother, what he wants to try to do. And what he does, he sends him some very expensive gifts here in this chapter. In verse 13 and down to verse 15, these are expensive gifts. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes or female sheep, and 20 rams. And then he gives him 30 milk cows or camels. Then he gives him coats, 40 kind of cows. Then he gives him 10 bulls, then the she-asses, and 10 foals. So he wants reconciliation with Esau's brothers, what he wants right there. And then you get on down to verse 16 and following. He wants to separate the different kind of animals and divides them. 580 animals altogether. See, is what he does. And jump on down, verse 19 and following. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the grove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, a peradventure he will accept of me. So he went the presence over before him and himself, that is Jacob, lodged that night in the company. Now, after he tries paying, there he took it back. He was a Baptist. We do the same things a lot of times. We do the same thing. Here, Lord, but we take it back. I'll fix it myself. Jacob knows that he can't be right with God until he gets right with his brother. Okay? He can't get right with his brother until he gets right with God. Isn't that something? Now, in verse 22, down to verse 24, we're going to see a battle that took place here in this chapter. A battle Jacob fought. Verse 22. And he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the brook, over the fort Jabbok, which means wrestler. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And then Jacob was left alone, wrestled with the man until the breaking of the day. Now, it said he wrestled with a man, okay? A male angel, okay? There are no female angels in the Bible, okay? Thank you. None. No females. All sexes. They're all males, okay? All the way from the cherubs all the way down. There's no female angels, okay? I mean, I can give you 100 scriptures. Well, I don't do that. But that's just so, okay? There are two things about this battle that took place. There's the setting of this battle. Jacob was now right where he needed to be. Where's that? Alone. You see, many times we're facing a problem or we're making a decision of some kind of what to do. Or we carry one of them burdens that we sometimes carry about. The greatest thing that you can do is get along with God. Get in a closet and pray. Go down to the back 40 and get down on your face and pray to God somewhere. You see, the carnal man does not want to get along with God. But you see, the greatest battles of life are not fought in public, dear folks. They're fought in private. You hear me? The greatest battles of life are not fought in public. They're fought in private. You see, Jesus won the victory of our sins at Calvary. But the battle was fought at Gethsemane, the oil press. The greatest times of your life will not be in public. They'll be in private, along with God. So, there's a setting of the battle. Now we're going to see the starting of the battle in verse number 24. The latter part of that verse there in verse 24. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Well, who was the man, Brother Bo? I'm glad you asked me that. Because if you go over there and read Hosea chapter number 12 and verse number 4, it reveals his identity over there in that chapter. This man is the angel of the Lord, is moreover is the Lord God himself. He wrestled with Jesus. Read 33 verse 10 that chapter Genesis. Verse 30, he names a place, Peniel. That means the face of God there. The word used to name the place that he wrestled with God at there.
He said, "For I have seen the face, God's face to face. I have seen God face to face." So Jacob was not wrestling with the angel, okay? The angel was wrestling with Jacob. God was wrestling with Jacob to see what he would get from Jacob. So in other words, I'm saying that the loser becomes the winner. Now let's look at the blessings that he found. All of his life now, all of his life, Jacob had been after the blessings of God. All of his life. He had gone about it the wrong way, though. You see, God wants to bless Jacob the right way. So what does he do? In verse number 25, He's crippled by the Lord. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollows of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, I don't know if you know anything about wrestling or not. Way back, you know that the strength of a wrestler is in his legs. Okay? It's in his legs. You take his legs out, you got him. Okay? You take his legs out, you can take him out. So God touched Jacob at his greatest point of strength and made it his greatest weakness. You see, he could never wrestle, run, or fight. He could either wrestle, run, or fight. One of those. But God wanted Jacob to look in the mirror and see himself. You hear me? Three times, there are times, I'll put it this way, when God desires to see how serious we are about our requests as well. You see, he prevailed against the flesh. He prevailed with the angel of God, in other words. Over there in Matthew, chapter number 7, listen to these two verses. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and that seeketh, findeth, and to him knocketh, the door shall be opened. You see, Jesus is saying that we're to ask and keep on asking. We're to seek and keep on seeking. We're to knock and keep on knocking. And the result is that we will receive. We will find, and the door we shall be open. In other words, God had to cripple him in order to crown him. God had to make him lame before he could make him leap. You see, we can't use things that are broken a lot of times. But God can use things until he breaks them. He won't use it until he breaks it. Did you know he uses broken things? He takes a broken soil to give a crop, don't it? He takes broken clouds to give us rain. It takes broken grain to give you bread. It takes broken bread to give you strength, in other words. It's only a broken Jacob that will become a blessed Jacob shortly. So he's clinging to the Lord. Now, verse 26. And he said, "Let me go. For the day breaketh," and he said, "I will not let thee go until thou bless me." Here's old Jacob, helpless, but he was not hopeless right now. He was right where God wanted him to be. You see, the angel was saying, "Let me go." But really he said, "Hang on, Jacob. Don't let go. Hang on. You're going to get the blessing. Just hang on, boy." You see, when you come to the greatest burden in your life you face, the heartaches that you face, the problems you run into in your life, if you just hold on to God, dear folks, and not let go, the blessing's going to come. But you just got to hold on to God. A weeping endured for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Okay? And in verse 27, he's confessing to the Lord. Then he said unto him, "What is in thy hand?" And he said, "Jacob." The last time Jacob asked his name, he lied. The last time Jacob was asked his name, he lied. He said his name was Esau. He's got to come clean to who he was. He lied to his father. He lied to his brother. He lied to his own self. But he could not lie to God. When he came clean, he said, "I'm a liar, I'm a swindler, and I'm a cheat." Then all of a sudden, his eyes are opened up, and he realized that his real problem was not Esau at all. But his real problem was both,
or Jacob. You see, everybody's got a little Jacob, okay? His real problem is Jacob. You see, why Brother Bo did the Lord ask Jacob who he was? He knew who he was. He wanted Jacob to admit who he was. You see, you'll never get right with God and be right with God until you exactly admit who you are and what you are. You see, there's Jacob in all of us, dear folks. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. You see, the word deceitful, what's that word deceitful mean, Brother Bo? It's another word for Jacob. It's what it is. And then he changed his life in verse number 28 here. Verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." It looks as if Jacob had lost, but Jacob had really won by losing. Jacob won the war by losing the battle, folks. A surrendered man now became a sovereign man. A man that was changed from Jacob to Israel is now a prince with God. He went out into that match as a whole man, but he came out a lame man. He walked away a crippled leg, but he also came back with a noble heart. He had gone from con to a Christian. He had gone from a trickery to a triumph. He had gone from foolishness to faith. He had gone from a deceiver to a disciple. Jacob the cheat into an Israel the champion. He walks into the camp. His hair is a mess. His face is dirty. His lips are cut. And somebody said, "Jacob, what's happened to you, little man?" He said, "I just got blessed." Now, Brother Bo, one question. What happened to Jacob? What happened to him? All right, I'll tell you. If you'll turn quickly to chapter 33, I'll show you what happened to Jacob. Real fast, like you'll turn over there. All right. If you're in chapter 33, look at verse number 4. "And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Jacob bows upon his knees 7 times before Esau. Esau fell on his neck and wept. He was so impressed by the humility of Jacob and his wives and his children that he was greatly impressed. You go over there and read a little further in chapter 39 on down. You read about a man named Joseph. Joseph did the same thing that they just did. He fell on his brother's neck and he kissed him and forgave him. Go over there in Luke 15 and you'll read a story about a father that ran and called his son and hugged him and embraced him and kissed him, the prodigal son. Jacob meets Esau and he falls on his neck and they embrace and they hug and kiss. When Jacob took care of his relationship to God, God took care of his relationship to Esau. Okay? All right. You're dismissed. Have a break.